God, we thank you for the opportunity that we have to come and worship you in freedom this morning. We pray particularly for those who are further away in focus, and we pray that they also will be having a time to share amongst each other and to worship you in freedom as well. We invite your Spirit now to come amongst us. Pray that we'd open our hearts and our minds and our ears to receive from you afresh this morning. And may we leave this place again confident in the mercy that you have shown us, and deeper in faith with you to live out this week coming. Amen. Anne.
Now invite Marjorie and Margaret and our erstwhile visitor, who is playing the part of Elijah, to share our Bible reading this morning.
King Ahab was one of the worst kings God's people had ever had. He did not listen to God at all. He had worshipped a statue of Baal, and he had also made a lot of other people do the same. God was not at all pleased that he had been replaced by a pile of sticks and stones. So God whispered a message for King Ahab into the ear of a prophet or holy man called Elijah.
Tell King Ahab what he is doing is very wrong. So I am going to stop the rain from falling until he stops worshipping that statue.
King Ahab was so angry with Elijah and the message that he brought to him that he wanted to kill him. God had other ideas. God said,
"Go, Elijah, and hide in the deep ravine east of the Jordan River."
But Elijah was worried.
"But how will I live out there, all on my own in the wilderness?"
God replied,
"I am the real God after all, not just a statue made of sticks and stones. There is a stream running down the middle of the ravine, so you can drink from that whenever you like. I've asked a flock of feathered friends to feed you."
Elijah was not sure what God meant by all of this, but he trusted that God would take care of him as he had promised. So Elijah crossed the river and hid in the ravine. He drank from the stream, just as God had told him to. On his first morning there, some of God's feathery friends came to visit him. They were birds called ravens, and in their claws and beaks they carried bread and meat for his breakfast. Elijah ate and ate until he was full. When night came, the ravens came back with more bread and meat for his tea. So Elijah hid there in safety, and he never went hungry or thirsty. God fed Elijah in his Raven Ravine restaurant, because he was, after all, the real God and not just a pile of sticks and stones.
So we come to that time in the service where we say sorry, we confess, but why do we confess? I think God has given us a pattern, a way of life that he would love us to live. In the Old Testament, we see that he gave Moses the Ten Commandments to help the people have a pattern for life, a way to live. In the New Testament, Jesus basically gives us two very, very clear commands, which is to love God and to love each other. And in the words of our confession today, we acknowledge the times when we have not loved God in the way that he would intend us to love him, and we have not loved one another in the way that he would have intended us to love each other. So let's just take a moment to reflect on our own lives this week, on the times when we have perhaps not loved God in the way that he would have wanted, and particularly as well the times in which we have not treated others in the way that God would intend that we are treated. So let's join together in the words on the screen of our confession. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you and against our neighbour in thought and word and deed, through negligence, through weakness, through our own deliberate fault. We are truly sorry and repent of all our sins for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us. Forgive us all that is past, and grant that we may serve you in newness of life to the glory of your name. Amen.
So may Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in life eternal, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
It's really important to know that when we've confessed, God has forgiven us. The slate is wiped clean because of what Jesus has done for us, and we can now live this week intending to live in that way of life again. And then that's why we come back again each week and each time, say sorry for the times when we haven't quite lived up to that promise. Each week, the Church of England has a special prayer as well called the Collect, and the special prayer for today. Lord of creation, whose glory is around and within us, open our eyes to your wonders, that we may serve you with reverence and know your peace at our life's end. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Can we have our reading, please?
I have been on the other side of the lake with Jesus, and I have witnessed the feeding of lots of people with just 5 loaves and 2 fishes. It was a miracle. But now I have followed him back across the lake. Teacher, when did you get here?
I am telling you the truth. You are looking for me because you ate the bread and had all you wanted, not because you understood my miracles. Do not work for food that is short-lived and that will go bad. Instead, work for food that lasts for eternal life. This is the food which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has put his seal of approval on him.
What can I do in order to do what God wants?
What God wants you to do is to believe in the one he sent.
What miracle will you perform so that we can see it and believe in you? What will you do? Our ancestors ate manna in the desert, just as the scripture says. He gave them bread from heaven to eat.
I am telling you the truth. What Moses gave you was not bread from heaven. It is my Father who gives you the real bread from heaven. For the bread that God gives is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world.
Give me this bread always.
I am the bread of life. He who comes to
me will never be hungry. He who believes in me will never be thirsty. This is the gospel of Christ. Praise to Christ, our Lord.
So let's just pray for Anne as she comes to speak to us. So Lord, I thank you for the word that you've put on Anne's heart to share with us today. I pray that you would give her confidence to share all that you have already shared with her to us. And I pray that we might be attentive to all that you have to say to us through her. Amen.
Now the children have gone to the lantern room. We'll continue with our theme in here this morning, which is linked to the Old Testament story of Elijah being fed by the ravens. But Jesus said, I am the bread of life. The Bible reading reminded me of a story I'd read recently, taken from the life story of a very early Indian Christian missionary called Sadhu Sundar Singh. It is told of Sadhu Sundar Singh that many years ago he was distributing gospels in the central provinces of India, and he came across some non-Christians on the train, and he offered a man a copy of St. John's Gospel. The man took it, tore it in pieces in anger, and threw the pieces out of the train window. That seemed to be the end of that. But it so happened, in the providence of God, there was a man, like they do in India, idly walking along the railway line that day. He picked up the pieces of paper as he walked along. He looked at one of the little bits, and the words on it, in his own language, were the bread of life. Well, he didn't know what it meant, but he inquired amongst his friends, and one of them said, I can tell you that. It's out of the Christian's book. You know, the one called the Bible. You mustn't read it, though, or you will be defiled. The man thought for a moment and said, but I want to read the book that contains that beautiful phrase. And so he bought a copy of the New Testament. In that, he was shown where the sentence occurred. Our Lord's words, I am the bread of life. And as he studied the gospel, the light of Christ flooded into his heart. Later on, that man who had been idly walking along the railway line became a preacher of the gospel in the central province of India. That little bit of paper, through God's Spirit, was indeed the bread of life to him. The crowds, we're told, that surrounded Jesus in the passage that had they just witnessed one of the greatest miracles Jesus has ever performed. And if you've been listening, Margaret will have told you it was the feeding of the 5,000. These people were now seeking more bread and more healings because the miracles they previously witnessed had not led them, the people, to believe in Jesus. It had left them instead with a desire for even more miracles. They were, in fact, miracle chasing. In their minds, these signs were not the sign of the Messiah, the Son of God, but they were a means of obtaining more bodily necessities, such as extra food to eat. However, in our passage, Jesus speaks about spiritual food, which only God can give. Spiritual food which lasts forever, but which also gives life forever. This spiritual food includes praying, reading the Bible, obeying what Jesus is calling us to do, and telling others about the love that Jesus has for them. The spiritual food is a gift, but we do have to work for it and then use it. However, we can never earn it, nor can we, by our own efforts alone, make ourselves worthy to receive it. There's nothing wrong with enjoying the good things of life, but we do need to remember that snacking on these good things can stop us feasting on the great things, because, having snacked, we have no appetite left. This is true food from God, because God put his seal upon his Son, which proved Jesus had come from God, a point which the Jewish people who'd been following Jesus around were not understanding. In New Testament times, and much later on in history as well, people placed their seal upon a letter to prove that they had written it and not anybody else. Goldsmiths and silversmiths today still make sure every item they sell is hallmarked and marked with their name to prove it's the genuine product of their handiwork. We read in verse 30 that some of the Jews there wanted a sign to come from God, a continuous feeding of bread. They suggested manna, because they believed that when the promised Messiah came, God would send this as a sign. They felt that if Jesus claimed to be the Messiah, which he did, that he should perform that same miracle so that they could believe in him. However, I feel such a demand is proof that the Jews were really using it as an excuse, perhaps, for not believing at all. Jesus' response to this was to explain that Moses didn't give the manna, God gave it. But it wasn't true bread from heaven. It was earthly bread that fell from the sky. The spiritual bread of God gives life to our world. Our bodies cannot live without food and drink, and so our souls should not live either without Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ promised that those who came to him would never go hungry. We must take Jesus Christ into our hearts. After all, he gave up his body to save us and his life as a sacrifice so that we might live. Jesus said, "The bread I am promising is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." Jesus then tries to explain to the people that they cannot expect bread on demand. The crowd will have to have a big change of heart until they recognize, respect and accept who Jesus really is. Before that, they can receive bread and fish as they did at the lakeside, but the deeper hunger inside them will never be satisfied by those alone. The crowd by now are now desperate to know what sign Jesus will give to authenticate his claims. It's clear they still haven't grasped the significance of the manna that their forefathers had received in the desert. It's plain to see, I think, they were worrying far more about the signs than what the signs signified. They were failing to recognize their deepest need. The deepest need would not be met by a something, but by a someone. That person, of course, being Jesus. The bread, we realize, of course, with hindsight, stands as a symbol or sign of Jesus himself. When declaring, "I am the bread of life," Jesus is using a powerful and recognizable tool for exposing human need and stating very firmly that only he can meet it. Our need for this spiritual bread is often far greater than we can ever imagine. Of course, it's still available for us, but for us to receive it, we have to seek it and accept it on God's terms, not ours. God, who gave the supernatural manna to the Israelites, bread and fish to the Galileans, still loves to perform miracles in our lives. We should beware that we're not blind like the Israelites, who ate manna for breakfast and then saw no wrong at all in spending the rest of the day worshipping a golden calf. We should make sure every day we're filled with the sweet taste of his body, which was crushed to save us at Calvary. Salvation is not something God owes us. We are, of course, free to choose it or not. God is free to offer his grace to whoever he chooses to save rather than destroy. If we look to Jesus, believe in him, and stay true to our faith, we will be saved. But we may need to approach the throne of grace in humility, saying, Lord, be merciful to me. I am a sinner. God wanted to give the children of Israel living bread, which when eaten would last forever. Similarly, Jesus wanted the people who followed him around to have bread that was everlasting and which would satisfy their hunger. And that is what he wants us to receive as well. The bread of life being offered by Jesus to each and every one of us is a spiritual nourishment that sustains us for eternity. Nothing else is comparable. I wonder if our spiritual appetite is great enough to help us grow in Christ. I wonder this morning, are we starving or well fed? And what should we do about it? And what a better time to do something about it than now? If you want to say the following prayer of commitment, please join in and repeat the words after me. You don't have to repeat them out loud. You can repeat them in the silence of your heart. I'll go slowly to give you time. Lord Jesus, I accept this morning that you are the Son of God. I invite you now to enter my daily life. A life that will acknowledge your generosity in granting to me a spiritual life that will reflect my love for you to those around me. Come, Holy Spirit. Help me to remember that you are the bread of life, the spiritual sustenance I need every day. Amen. Sarah's now going to continue our time of prayer together.
The response we'll be using this morning for the prayers when I say Jesus, Lord of life, will be in your mercy, hear us, and will be on the screen. Let us pray. Life-giving Lord, thank you that you are our saviour and our provider. Thank you that you sent the Son to restore our relationship with the Father, and then sent your helper, the Holy Spirit, to guide and lead us. You have blessed us with your inspired word, the Bible, the best life manual ever. Thank you for being a generous God, for providing us with help and support, and for always being with us. Jesus, Lord of life, in your mercy, hear us. Thank you that you care for all the people of this world. We pray particularly for those whose livelihoods are decimated by famine, drought, and disease, and for those suffering with malnourishment. Intervene, Lord, and supply all their needs, rains, harvest, life-giving food, and medicines. We pray for those who have been misplaced due to war and conflict. Provide a safe home for them and turn their fear into hope and happiness. We are sorry for the times we are ungrateful for all that we have. Help us to not take our blessings for granted, but to look at where we can help others who are less fortunate than ourselves. Jesus, Lord of life, in your mercy, hear us. Thank you that we are part of a global family, your church. We pray for our Christian brothers and sisters in need, those who are persecuted for loving and worshipping you. Protect your children and the Christian faith throughout the world. Keep us passionate to speak out for injustices in this world and against your church, and help us to walk in love, mercy, and humility. Jesus, Lord of life, in your mercy, hear us. Thank you that you are the life for our world, our nation, and our town. We lift to you those in positions of power, for our new Prime Minister and government, and for those Christians who can be influencers, change makers, and your voice in our nation and town. We also pray for your church across Suffolk and here in our parish. Give us opportunities to be missionaries here at home, demonstrating your love to those in our communities, workplaces, and amongst friendship groups. Bless all the families during this summer holiday. Protect them, provide for them, and renew them. We pray particularly for those of our church family who are at Focus. May they experience fellowship within your wider church and enjoy the teaching and worship on offer to them. Bless those whose summer brings challenges, illness, and grief. Comfort and strengthen them at this difficult time. Draw close to them and help us to minister to them in their time of need. Jesus, Lord of life, in your mercy, hear us. Thank you that you are the bread of life who offers eternal life. When so much around us seems divisive and hopeless, we know that you are our source of unity and hope. When life is taken and not seen as precious, we know that you love us and each one of us matters to you. When we are treated unequally, we know that in your eyes, all are equal and have been made in your image. You came down from heaven to give life to us that lasts for eternity. Help us to receive this gift, live our lives to the fullness, with thankful hearts, glorifying you. Jesus, Lord of life, in your mercy, hear us. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Two particular things struck me when Anne was speaking. The first one, that idea of I'm giving up the snacking and waiting for the feast and being part of the feast. You know, if you were the only other person ever to have been on this planet, you would have still have had that invitation drop through your door to come and attend the feast. But the table, we know, is endless. It stretches as far as you can see, and there's lots of empty seats, but there is an RSVP. And as Anne challenged us at the end of her talk, it's really important that today, if you want to be at that feast, you need to make a response. The other thing that Anne mentioned was that the people wanted more miracles. I want more miracles. I want to see God more at work in our world today. I want to see his kingdom come now and in the future. So I think that those two things are really important to the life of this church, that making that response and to believing in miracles. And at the end of the service, If you would like prayer for either of those things, if you'd like to talk more and be prayed with and for about how to make that RSVP, or if you would like to see a miracle in your life or the life of somebody you love or the life of others, then do come forward and members of the prayer ministry team would be delighted to pray with you. All of that is possible because of what God has already done for us. So let's stand if you are able and join together in the words of the Creed and share corporately that belief that we have in all that God has already done for us that we have the opportunity to be part of. So we say together, we believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate with the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
You know, it's absolutely brilliant that God trusts every single one of us. He wants us to be his friends. He trusts us with his words. We heard about Elijah earlier, that God spoke to Elijah and gave him a message to give to somebody else. God still does that today. We still have a message for each other. We can still bless each other. And we're just going to take a moment now to do that, just to bless each other as we share the peace. Just say hello, welcome people, bless the people with whom you might shake a hand. Just say, God bless you, his peace be with you. Remind you of the words from the gospel. Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. Never. And whoever believes in me will never, never be thirsty. So the peace of the Lord be always with you. Let's share that peace and that blessing from God with each other.